for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 28th, 1994. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Well, I see that the finances has been returned to my hands, and we'll thank the Lord for it and bless it. Okay? And to you who are here new, I always say that I can pray okay standing, and I can pray okay kneeling and laying down, but I don't pray very well sitting. So, pretty please, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, it's with a thankful heart that we come this evening to give thanks unto Jesus, our High Priest. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done for us and are doing for us and will yet do for us. We come and call on the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blood that cleanses and washes us. Thank you, Father, for your anointing that flows through and out unto your people through each one of us, one unto the other. And then, Father, I thank you for the finances that you supply to take care of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and those who come here to minister. I appreciate it, and I thank you for it. And then, Father, I come this evening as the priest of this place, that you have placed me here for this at this place for this time. And, Father, I bring these finances that have been placed into my hands tonight from these thy people. And I bring them as a sweet savor to give unto you, Jesus, who is our High Priest, to be presented upon the altar before the throne as a sweet savor unto our Father. And I thank you, Father, for receiving it. And I thank you for your blessing upon it and for your blessing upon these thy people. And then, Father, as I take it and become steward over these finances, I take dominion over them and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God. They shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as this type of finances is used. Father, I bind it to the kingdom, and I declare that it shall multiply again and again and again and many times over to bring salvation and healing and restoration and deliverance to your people for your name's sake. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. Now, Father, I bless these thy people. I pray Abraham's blessings upon them, your anointing to rest upon them. Father, I thank you for taking care of their households while they're gone. Your word says, Father, that nothing shall come nigh their dwelling when they come up to the house of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for doing that for them. Now, Father, we thank you for your anointing and your blessing over them physically and spiritually and financially. And, Father, we thank you for the privilege that's given unto us together this week, this weekend, to lift up the name of Jesus and to declare that He is Lord. Father, I thank you again that we have the privilege to lift up our nation and those in authority over us this day. I lift up our president. I lift up our vice president. I lift up the cabinet, the advisors. I lift up the Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court. And I bind the spirit of rebellion and antichrist that's over our nation and over our capital. I break the power of the Illuminati, and I break the power of finance and pride. I break the power and the curse of rebellion and the shedding of innocent blood. And I speak conviction by the Holy Ghost to flow across this nation to bring deliverance and healing and restoration, to cause men and women and boys and girls to repent and call on the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the privilege you have given us to be intercessors in behalf of our people, in behalf of the nation and the nations of the earth. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Praise your Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I generally take a few minutes a couple of times during camp meeting to talk about a different subject or two. And tonight I'm not going to read all the scriptures that go with what I'm talking about, but we have been dealing with the subject of intercession. All the teaching has really been in the basis of it is intercession and calling on the name of the Lord, repentance. As a Pentecostal, raised in Pentecost, as some of you have been, and other denominations, I have always been told that I was to be aware of the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast. Well, I want to show you scripture tonight, and some of you have heard this maybe two or three times before, but I'm going to show you scripture to show you that that is an erroneous statement, and that we need to be taught something else than to be afraid of the mark of the beast. I have no fear of the mark of the beast, whatever it might be. 666, the control of my mind, the control of the labor of my hands, whatever. That is not the fear that I need to have within me. I need to have the fear of God within me, and not the fear of the mark of the beast. And that literally is an erroneous teaching of error. And I'll show you why. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 9. The Lord says that he is looking for those to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. I want to be one to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He says that we are his battle axe. And if we are his battle axe, then he is preparing us for war. And as we're prepared for war, we're not going to run away someplace else to do the battle. The battle is here on earth, not in heaven. And Satan is who that we're called to defeat and to put his cohorts underfoot. So over in Ezekiel chapter 9, we will look at that tonight, and I will show you by the 9th chapter of Ezekiel that there's something else that you need to desire and to seek after and to be afraid that you do not have, instead of being afraid of the erroneous teaching to fear the mark of the beast. Now, the mark of the beast may be real. It may happen. It may be in your forehead. It may be a chip implanted in your hand or something like that. But if I have what Ezekiel 9 says, the mark of the beast will have no effect upon me or you. So here in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, it says, "The Lord, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the church, the city, to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came." Now there we've got the number of man, six, as we hear all the time, which is true biblically. "And six men came from the way of the higher gate that layeth towards the north." We hear that God dwells in the north, and these came from the way of the north. "And every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand, but one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood," where? "Beside the brazen altar." Where did they go and stand? They went and stood at the place of judgment. The brazen altar represents God's judgment. "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the church, through Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls, that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. To the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, maid and children and women, but come not near any man, woman, boy, or girl upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin with the ancient men which were before the house of the Lord." So God says to the angel that had the writer's inkhorn that was clothed with linen, he said, go through the church. Go through it and mark in the forehead everyone who sighs and cries for the abominations that's in the household of faith. Put a mark in their head, in their forehead. Mark them with my mark. You mark them with my mark. And then he says to go, for those who were with him, to go to the ancient men who were before the house of the Lord, the elders of the house of the Lord, and you start there and slay every one of them that does not have the mark. So, what do we need to fear? We need to fear that we're not an intercessor, sighing and crying for the abominations that's in the household of faith. What's in the land is horrible. Abortion, witchcraft, a rebellion, that's horrible. But it's also in the household of faith. And here's where we have to start. Here's where we have to get cleaned up. Here's where we have to begin so that we can then go to the outside. But it has to start here first.
And God says to those who are not an intercessor, who are not concerned with the abominations that's within the church, that God says to slay them all. But he says for those who have a closet, a prayer closet, and who sigh and cry and are concerned and stand in the gap and make up a hedge, be a battle axe for God, God says you're marked in your forehead with my mark. And if you're marked with God's mark, the mark of the beast is meaningless to you and me. And we need to be taught that we need to desire God's mark, his mark, in my forehead and in yours, so that we will be counted worthy. That when the angels of the Lord come through the land, says to take out the tares first, that we'll not be counted as a tare, but we'll be counted as the wheat, ready for harvest, or be those who are harvesting the wheat. So then he goes on, but he said to start with the household of faith and slay the elders in the house of the Lord. And then he said, unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain. And they went forth and they slew in the city, in the church. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and then I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem or upon the church? Then he said unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood. And America and the nations today are full of blood. They're full of blood. Every nation is full of blood from abortion. Every nation is full of blood from strife and murder. Every nation is full of blood from wars, present and past. And it all has to be accounted for. One day, God requires the accounting of all shedding of innocent blood. It must be accounted for. And he said, the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. But they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. No, God has not forsaken the earth, and he does see. He said, As for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by sight, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Now, there are some other things in this here that I went through that I could talk about, that steps out of the page to me as I read it. But I will make some remarks about the overcomers, those who sigh and cry for the abominations. In the book of Revelations, there are 8 promises to these people who are the overcomer. There are 8 promises to the overcomer in the book of Revelation. And I desire whatever God has for me, I will be thankful. But I desire to be an overcomer. My determination is that I am marked with the mark of the intercessor. And tonight I'm trying to impress upon you that you make that your determination also, that you become an intercessor, to sigh and cry for the abominations that's in the land. You say, the church has got abominations. Well, you've seen enough on TV. But if that's not enough, come stay here for a year and see who comes here for help and prayer and deliverance. But thank God they come, and thank God that they're seeking it. And I believe that incest is in every living person on the face of the earth, that incest is in them unless they've been delivered from it. Why do I say that? Because we have prayed for people here and do pray for people here, from the pastor down through the elders and down through the congregation, for the spirit of incest. Why is the spirit of incest in every family, in every person, unless you've been delivered from it? Because it is a 10-generation curse. And someplace in your 10 generations, somebody has been involved in incest. And that is carried down through your... And Satan is trying to reproduce it. And he may jump generation. He may jump a generation or two, but he's got 10 generations to reproduce himself. So it is perpetual. So I believe that we need to seek deliverance, every single person, deliverance for the spirit of incest. And then there's others as well. You say, well, I thought I'm getting way off here. Forgive me, Brother George. But you say, I thought that all that got taken care of when I got saved. I used to believe that too. I thought so. until we begin to deal in deliverance. And the more we deal in deliverance, the more I find all of these things still exist in most of us unless God has sovereignly delivered us from it or we have gone and asked. The blood of the Lord Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. And we are saved. We come to the Lord and repent. But there's a lot of things that's in our family that we don't know about. There's even things in your life that you don't remember about that happened to you as a child. God's sovereign, and He can take care of all that. But most of the time, some of it is still there. And it has to be taken care of in deliverance, in one form or another. So, you say, well, as I think Brother David said this afternoon, and I think maybe Norman, somebody did. But you say, well, I got saved. Well, let me ask you this. What does John 3:16 say? It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Is that what it says? Is the world saved? Is the world saved? Why? I didn't finish the verse, did I? I only quoted half of it. That whosoever believeth on Him. So, Jesus died for the world, but you have to believe on Him and accept His shed blood for the remission and salvation of your sins, for salvation. The same is true with the curses, we found out. Now, that's a whole other subject, but I'll... it takes all afternoon to teach on this. But Galatians, it says that he who hung on a tree becomes a curse in Deuteronomy. And in Galatians 3:13, it says that Jesus became our curse. Correct? Galatians 3:13. But in order for that to be appropriate, you must apply that to your individual life. It is not automatic, no more than salvation. You have to accept and appropriate salvation in the blood of Jesus. You must also appropriate the fact and tell Satan that Jesus became your curse. And then with that authority, you can put the blood of Jesus against and between the curses that you either have gotten under yourself or you've inherited down through your family line, and you can break those curses and be set free from them. The curse of incest, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, lesbianism, and so forth and so on. They're all curses that we are under in one form or another, and many more. Anyway, that's the sidetrack. As Brother Worley used to say, I got off and chased a rabbit down the side trail. Well, so we were talking about being intercessors, and that there are 8 promises that God gives in the book of Revelation to the intercessor, the overcomer. And just real quick, we'll not comment on them. Just since I have started it, I will read them to you. Revelations chapter 2 is where we will begin. You can real quick mark the scriptures, and then it is quite a study in itself, just in these 8 statements here of what the Lord has for us in here. But in the book of Revelations in chapter 2, John tells us here, the angel of the Lord Jesus, tells John that he says in verse 7, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There's the tree of life that Adam could have eaten of, and God says, you give it to us, the paradise of God. But Jesus is that tree of life. He is that tree. And that's number 1. Number 2 is in verse 11. It says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So evidently, there's a second death that we can be, that the overcomer will not be hurt by. Then we go to verse 17. It says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save it he that receiveth it. This white stone, in ancient days, when they had a court case, and a man was exonerated, or a person was exonerated in the court case, the judge gave them a white stone. And sometimes their name was imprinted in it. It was to show that they were exonerated from whatever they were being tried for. That they were innocent. And so the Lord says that He will give us a white stone. we have been tried and judged and found innocent. And we receive a white stone with our name in it, and we will also receive the hidden manna. The children of Israel had manna 40 years in the wilderness, but now here's manna that is for eternity. Number 4 is in verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him will I give power over the nations. Well, I know that salvation is free. I know that the Holy Spirit is free. Healing is free. It's all paid for. But if we want more than that, we must labor in the kingdom. Labor in the vineyard for the kingdom. And here, the Lord says to those who work. Say, there's nothing by works. No, it's not by works that I might do, but it's by what I must labor in the kingdom. And the Lord says that unto those who work, to those, he will give power over the nations. So there will be those of some of us here and in ages past who God will assign to be the judge, the president, or whatever, over the nations. There will never be a king over any nation. You will never be a king in the kingdom. And if you will go back to your original and look in the original translation, there are two places in the scripture where it's a wrong translation, and it said kings and priests. That is not true in the scripture. We are a kingdom of priests. And there is only one king right here in Revelations 1 is a mistranslation. But there's only one king, will never be anymore, just one. His name is Jesus. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is his name. But we are a kingdom, a priest unto the Lord. So, number 5 is over in chapter 3, and it is verse 5. It says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Now, when we're dealing in deliverance, and you tell the devil, the demon sometime, that this person's going to walk in robes of white, they'll say, no, 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 never, never. Or they'll talk back to you. Yes, we will walk in robes of white. Devil, we tell you, Satan, Lucifer, we're going to walk in robes of white. It is so written in the scripture. And it says, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, evidently, there is a possibility of your name being blotted out of the book of life, or it wouldn't say so here. So there goes eternal security, right down the tubes. False doctrine, eternal security. Because it says right here that it's possible for your name to be blotted out of the book of life. And I thank God that if we serve and walk in righteousness to the best of our ability, that our name will not be blotted out. Now, number 6 is in verse 12. It says, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of my city, the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So it says here that we will have a new name. It says here that we will be a pillar in the temple of the Lord. Do you know what a pillar does? It holds up the building. It holds, so the overcomer will be the pillars in the temple of the Lord. That city four square that's coming down from glory, it's got to have some mighty big pillars in it and some strong pillars to hold it together. So we're going to be pillars in the temple of and the house and the city of the Lord to the overcomer. Then number 7 is in verse 21. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So there is, we would think, is the ultimate, to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus. Do you know what that means? That puts you in a place of rulership over the nations, not just being assigned to an area to rule, but to be assigned to help rule the nations and the universe. I believe that the rulership is not only the earth and the nations, but I believe it is the universe. It was not created just for some unknown reason. God has a purpose for it. And somewhere in eternity, through eternity, I intend to visit the farthest reaches of it. Amen. And I understand to know why God created it. Amen. I like to explore things. So he says that we'll rule and reign, have rulership with him in his throne. But then there's an 8th promise that God promises to the overcomers. In chapter 21, and I believe it's verse 7, I think. Chapter 21 and verse 7. And it says, to him that overcometh, he shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. That'd be wonderful. We've gone so far, and it's been wonderful. We stopped right there. But there's another little phrase at the end of that verse, and it says, "And he shall be my son or my daughter." He considered, Jesus said that he'd call us his brother. And God here says that he'll call us his son. Talk about sonship. Talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. We have a fulfillment of the manifestations of the sons of God right here in the 7th verse of the 21st chapter of Revelation. That is really a full manifestation of the sons of God. And I decree that it is my desire and intent to inherit all that God has for me as I labor for the kingdom. And I trust that each one of you desire also to do likewise. And to serve the Lord and to become whatever he has that you can become as you labor for the kingdom and in the kingdom. Amen. So, don't be afraid of the mark of the beast. Be afraid that you don't have the mark of the intercessor. Amen. Well, Brother George, let me sit down so you can take up here. I've been 10 minutes longer than I intended to be.
I think it's so important that we hear what God is saying. That this isn't a show. It wasn't his turn or my turn. He has quickened your understanding to hear about the tremendous need for intercession. While I was seeking the Lord about this, the Lord said, "Tell my people that Ichabod has been inscribed above the temple, the church, not the temple, the church. Ichabod. What does that mean? My glory has departed." We hear Paul, when I was listening to this brother, like Paul, he can say, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." There is that mark of the intercessor. Glenn, we are so privileged to have the Spirit just talk to you through us. I hope that made you feel all right. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, get me turned on. Adair, come on up while I'm getting turned on.
The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart, to set the captives free, to open prison doors, to make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. I pitched that too high.
I have the skeleton key given to me by the Lord. I start all our music in the cracks, and then she has to catch on. And that was a little too high. But that's what the Spirit is saying. That's what the Spirit is saying. Do you agree? Okay, praise God. All right.
Did you have something?
No.
All right, Jesus, no. All right, glory. Oh, yes, I need that. But I need something else. Do you remember the word that came? Was it last night already? Or was it this morning that you gave the interpretation? That was this afternoon. All right, that has been resonating in my spirit. And the Spirit said, have the sister pray over you before you preach, because she has a word moving for the body of Christ. So would you just say a little prayer over me?
And the Lord would say this night, I will give you a new anointing. I will open your understanding further. And I will speak to you by through my anointing, and it will be me, saith the Lord. And the people will hear, for we will anoint the ears of the hearers that they might hear the word that goes forth. For without the hearing of the ear, they cannot hear. But you're going to minister to their spirit, and they're going to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And every word you speak will be like a weight of great weight, because it will carry words of life, words of healing, words of deliverance, and words of joy, and words of peace. The Lord perform it tonight to this your vessel. You're chosen of God. You stand before God, And you shall declare the fullness of my gospel, saith the Lord. For mine everlasting gospel hath not yet been preached, saith God. And I am bringing you and many others to the place that we shall, you shall minister that word.
Amen.
Bless you.
Oh, thank you.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I'd like to add a word to what Glenn said about ruling the heavens. Adam was given rulership of the earth. And when he fell, he did not lose that rulership, because man has kept the earth. He's blessed it. And he, if it hadn't been for his man in the earth, would have been a jungle. But man has blessed it. But God never permitted him to rule of the heavens until Jesus came.
Yeah.
And this man is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. So he's both Lord and Christ. And he is bringing forth a people that will rule the earth and rule the nations with a rod of iron. But you're going to rule the heavenlies too. Yeah. And it's going to be by the heavenlies, for he is the Lord from heaven. Adam was of the earth, earthly.
Yeah.
But this Christ, this one that lives in you and me, the new creation and the new man in the earth, is both Lord and Christ.
Yeah.
And he is the everlasting King and the Prince of Peace. And this is that substance, the newness of God that's been released in the earth by Jesus Christ. And he's releasing the power and authority of his word and of his spirit to a ministry and to a people. And by his spirit in you. And he's destroying the works of the devil and Lucifer and the Adam man's works and bringing forth a new order in the earth. And may God help us to move in that new order and forget the old order that has nothing but death in it. Because there's a life-giving river, rivers of living water flowing out of this mighty company. The rivers of living water flowing out of you. It's flowing out of me. And it's covering the earth from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And it's affecting the heavens, too. Glory to God. Our God is a rewarder of them that's diligently seeking it. I want to tell you something. We are the temple of the living God. We are not a weak-kneed people. We are strong. We are a strong people. And there never has been a people like them. And there never will be again. And they said even of the many generations. Joel said it in his word.
Yeah.
And it's, I always say, to 1,000 generations.
Yeah.
So you can count yourself fortunate. Count yourself above the earthly earth things that have tried you, tested you, and fooled you, and deceived you. Because you have a heavenly origin.
Oh.
Your destiny is a heavenly destiny. It's no longer the earthly. And you just as well release it. And be what God called you and ordained you to be.
Yeah,
and I tell you, he's got a people that's coming forth, anointed of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with his fullness, that shall deliver creation. They shall put death under their feet. They shall put disease and sickness under their feet. Because thus saith the Lord, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And the enemy cannot prevail. And over my church, the gates of hell shall never prevail over my church. Glory to God. It's time we woke up. We've been as if we're in a sleep. But I tell you, God has shaken us. And every demon spirit and every principle of the darkness, that's the principalities that we are going to put under our feet. And every principle of darkness is going to be dissolved by the light and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
We are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Go on and praise, brother.
Oh, just stand up for a minute. Stand up. Oh, hallelujah. Us, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Suddenly, we release your power. We release your glory. Oh, hallelujah.
You may be seated. Oh, thank you. Do you see how good it is to learn obedience? Yes, brother.
Amen.
To learn obedience. The Lord said very clearly, this lady had a word. Furthermore, he said, I'll release it if you'll have her pray for you. That's kind of unlikely. You know, no one else asked her to pray over him, but I did. And in that way, the Spirit of the Lord released a word. This was not an exhortation. This is a prophetic word. This is a declaration into your heart from the mind of God. These are the things that change the whole destiny of the church. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sister. Thank you for your obedience. And I just thank Glenn for his obedience. To feel free to just come up and talk to you about the marks that are being placed on you. And who knows what this will do. Well, Lord, I just offer this to you now. I want you to guide and direct our thoughts. Thank you, Lord. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen. Daniel? You're gonna just be delighted by how the Lord is integrating all of this. I want to take you on a little tour of something which we could call when the Lord fills his temple with his glory, he does it by coming in the cloud of his glory. When he fills it with his presence, he does it with the cloud of his glory. And the cloud and glory always go together. And I want to show you how the Bible has a beautiful set of bookends that deal with the promise, which has to do with our being a kingdom, singular, priests, plural, how it's promised in Exodus, fulfilled in Revelation, how it deals with the Lord coming into his temple in the cloud, to fill it with his glory and with the power of his manifest presence. Now, the church today does not have the cloud. This place has it, but this isn't the church. This is something much more... By church, I just mean, you know, that organization out in town. Of course, this is the church. You are the church. You are the ecclesia, the called out. Most of those people are just Sunday morning socialites that have missed the purpose and mind of God and have been caught in religious deception. And that's a crime. That's a shame. So, as we take this little tour, now lots of time, so just relax. If I see you get jiggly, I'll have you stand up and praise again, so that's all right. Daniel has been seeking God about a number of things. He'd been taken into the king's residence, palace, where... by God himself, what the king had been dreaming. The king had this dream, the big image, the kingdoms, the four kingdoms. Daniel was trying to put this together in terms of what was going on in his spirit. The first part of the vision in chapter 7 just deals with, he says, in my dream, I just kept looking, verse 9, chapter 7, verse 9 of Daniel, until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days, beautiful name, given to both God and to Jesus, by the way. There's an integration of function here that is absolutely precious, just like there is later on in Son of Man. Now, the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture, his clothing, was like white snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Incidentally, this isn't the picture of something back there. This is the picture of the move of God in the world, if we would open our eyes to see it. This is a living reality, and God wants us to see what Daniel was seeing so we can enter into the understanding and revelation that John got, that Daniel got. Oh, hallelujah. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him, and the court and the books were opened. Daniel was permitted to look right in and see God himself determining what his son would be and the church that his son would birth. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and so would you, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be interesting? And behold, now notice this. This is a theme which people have taken and and mixed up and messed up and doctrinalized it right out of the Bible, clear into the future. I kept looking. Behold, with the what? Come on. Are you looking at your Bible? Wow. With the clouds. With the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Let the eyes of your understanding be open that you might see this tremendous presentation. Because I want you to see that Daniel was looking into the heart of God, looking into the history that God had already determined when the books were opened, and he was seeing Jesus prepared for us. All right? And to this one, and to him, the Son of Man, was given dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
Glory.
Glory.
And a kingdom.
And a kingdom.
That all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is what? An everlasting dominion. Don't you put a time element on it. It isn't necessary. It's an unlimited, fully expansive, all-consuming dominion and kingdom. His dominion is everlasting, which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Daniel got curious, and Daniel teaches us a lesson, oh, precious friends. It says, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me. What does this mean? So, verse 16, I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this. Beloved ones, you are enjoined this night by the Holy Ghost to ask questions. Ask them of Glenn, Irma, or those holy ones who are standing by, who will speak into your understanding the things that you ask about. I began asking, he said, the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of all these things. Verse 18, the saints of the highest one will receive what? All right, who gets the kingdom? Who was just presented with the kingdom? The Son of Man and the saints of the highest in the Son of Man. You see, we are in. All right. They will receive the kingdom and do what to the kingdom? Possess the kingdom. Receive it, possess it. Receive it, possess it. Possess the kingdom for how long? Forever and for all ages to come. What does this mean? Is this mentioned anywhere else? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. They receive in this vision, the saints receive the kingdom. Chapter 12, verse 28. 12:28. I want you to see this with your own eyes. I want you to be thrilled with it. I want you to sense the Holy Spirit ministering to you. kingdom reality. Therefore, since we receive a what? Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and fear. Now, he came in the clouds, was presented before the Ancient of Days, that was given to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, received it. When will he fill his temple with his glory? When will the cloud manifest? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This gets just a little bit complicated, so for the sheep who are kind of young, I just open your eyes, just nibble away. Let this be like an Italian spaghetti fight. What sticks to you is yours. I think I have heard from the Lord for you. I really feel that you are a mature group that need to understand these things. You notice this is neither a pacifier nor a bottle. This is going to be kind of good state. Paul chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under what? The cloud. They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. When we put on Jesus Christ, we are baptized into Christ in the cloud. And the cloud is his manifest presence. The cloud is his glory made dynamic and real in our lives. And it's something which begins to overtake us. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate what? They all ate the same spiritual food. Most of the time it was manna. All right? Now that may not even refer to manna. But it says they all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from what? Spiritual rock. And the rock was... If there was a rock back then, there is a rock right now. If there was manna back then, there is manna right now. If there was a spiritual food then, there's a spiritual food even more real now. All right, that rock was Christ. Look at verse 11. No excuse. You got to take this. Paul says, now these things happened to them back there, as what? As an example, and they were written for our instructions, upon whom what? The ends of the world are come. You come into this cloud awareness, you come into the reality of Jesus Christ, and it'll put an end to the world for you. I can prove that in a dozen ways by the scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Seek to know what he's talking about here. All right, now we're going to look at the bookends. Turn to Exodus 19. I want you in Exodus 19, verse 6, to hear Jehovah God in a most longing, beautiful way talking to Israel.
I'm tempted to just take a little tiny rabbit trail.
Verse 4, he starts out, he wants to make them feel good. And so God says to Moses, tell them this. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you as on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I bore you as on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The avenue into God presence consciousness is on the wings of eagles. And how do we establish eagle wing consciousness? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, I hope. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Thank you, dear. I'm just... I get excited. All right. Now, there are some conditions to this. Listen now. If you will indeed obey my voice, I would say that 20 times until you begin to weep with the hunger, with the desire to actually hear God's voice. If they could hear the voice, it wasn't just through Moses, mostly through Moses because they were hard of hearing. But see, we have a direct pipeline. We hear the voice. We heard it tonight. We heard it. We've been hearing it all day. I watch these brothers work in deliverance, and I see God talking. I hear God talking. All right, next, if you hear my voice, obey my voice, and keep my what? Keep my covenants. Then you shall be what? Peculiar treasure, my very own possession. Can you imagine such a thing that the God that threw Pleiades into space, the big... They're not decorations, by the way. I agree totally with Glenn. That they are there as part of the manifest reality of God for his sons. And that we will, as the Lord said through this woman, we will have occasion to manifest his glory as we observe his glory. But that's something that's I'll let Glenn tell you all about that. All right. You'll be my own possession, my own peculiar possession, all treasure among all the peoples of the earth, for all the earth is mine. Amen. And you, listen to the longing in this, and you shall be to me a kingdom. You shall be a kingdom. This is long before Daniel. This is really long before Christ. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If I took you into Peter, I could show you where Peter points to the church and says, you are that people, you are that holy nation, you are that peculiar people. One thing you can say about Lake Hamilton, they're peculiar people. What weirdos, such excitement, my goodness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says that, you shall be to me a kingdom. Now look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I shall come to you, how? In a thick cloud. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud. Daniel is standing there. He sees the Ancient of Days take his seat. He sees the Son of Man coming in what? In the clouds. It's the same word. It's ananen or something like that. Number 5061 in Strong's Concordance, which means the covering, the holy covering, the divine covering.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.